Welcome to another episode of Teenage Dirtbags.
Episode 55, if you can believe it.
Is it really? Are you sure? 100%?
Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
That's awesome. Look at us.
I know. 55 episodes.
55. Shrift-y-five.
Shrift-y-five.
Remember that thing on the internet? Oh, my God. That was when the internet was like, there was literally two viral videos that existed, and that was one of them.
I don't think YouTube was a thing yet.
I bet you it probably wasn't.
It was like E-Bomb's World.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Remember Salad Fingers?
Yes. Yeah. Rusty Spoons.
What an insane time to be alive.
I remember when one of the first, I think it was YouTube, but I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong. There was a YouTube, one of the first YouTube videos I remember is shoes. Oh my God, shoes. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I do remember that now that you're saying it.
Oh my God.
Do you remember Aisha, where are you now?
Yeah,
like
kind of.
Skinny redheaded kid in his bedroom singing about Aisha.
And then there was like the Maya, hey, what's that? There was like a kid,
I don't know.
I think it was like a large child.
And then there was, of course, You Kick My Dog. You don't know that one?
No.
You Kick My Dog. Wow, I thought that was like worldwide.
No, I have no idea what that is.
Wow, okay. It's like a phone call, voicemail, and this man is saying, you kick my dog. Anyway.
Okay.
Hey,
welcome to Teenage Dirtbags, the podcast. We are a podcast that rates and reviews apparently old YouTube videos, and sometimes we do high school movies, and we relate them to our own teenage lives. I'm Maddie.
I'm Carly.
And today, we are going to review a classic that neither of us had seen prior to this viewing.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by the name of Heathers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot to say about it.
Good.
I also, at the same time, have a lot not to say about it.
Yeah, it's one of those movies.
It is one of those movies for sure. And let me preface by saying, I don't know if this is coming across. I'm very sick, or at least my throat is sickly.
And tell us, Maddie, why is your throat sickly?
My throat is sickly because I was screaming all weekend of excitement and horror because I got married.
Maddie is married.
I'm a married person.
That's so weird.
It is the most wild thing. It's insane.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
It's weird to me because, like, and this is coming from, like, a good place, but it's, like, when I think of you and our friendship, I think of us being, like...
Single and sad.
Single and kind of sad.
100%. I think of myself as a single, sad person. And I'm suddenly like, okay, I'm still single and I'm still sad, but married.
No,
and not
stop.
Either of those things.
Stop. Neither of us are sad.
No, I'm not. I know. I'm single
but
and sad, but married and happy.
When we met, I was with somebody, and then that ended shortly after we became friends. And then for like the next 5 years of our friendship, we were just single and like.
A lot of friendships that I have, not to make you feel not, you know, less special, but a lot of friendships that I have were developed and like bonded with somebody over how single we were.
Yeah.
And over boy stories or boy drama or pathetic, like, oh, this happened, or, oh, I wish that, you know, that kind of, I bonded with a lot of people that way. And
do you feel like you're still friends with them even though you're happy and married?
I mean, no, I think I have to say goodbye to them. No, these are still some of my closest friends, you being one of them. And so it's not that anything's changed necessarily because I have a buttload of stories to still share with everybody. But it's just, it's weird because then I'm like, it actually, what happened was, so right now we're recording this on a Tuesday. Excuse me. Yes. We're recording this on a Tuesday and... when I was at work, well, I went straight back to work on Monday. And when I was at work, I was telling some story about something completely unrelated to the wedding. And I was like, well, my boy. And then I went, my husband.
That's so weird.
And then I like sat there and screamed. And it was like somebody who does not know me. Like this is at work. And it was somebody who knows me, but it was like we were having a professional conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, my husband. And they were like, what's happening? It's like, I'm sorry, I just had a conniption. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, it is actually wild.
It's,
I mean, I don't honestly,
so
truthfully,
wild.
I don't feel like it's wild for anyone else that I know that has gotten married.
Right.
For some reason with you, I'm like, this is wild.
No, yeah.
It makes me have hope because I feel like we're similar.
We're incredibly
in
similar.
In a lot
yeah.
of ways.
I think that also something that my mom used to always say was that, oh, she didn't always say it. I think she said it once. But she said, one time she brought up, she said, well, maybe you'll end up with somebody that you already know.
Oh.
And look at that. I did.
A premonition.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that's,
Janie.
You know, it's true. And but she said that like when I was young. Like she said something like, you might, because that's what happened to her and my dad. They
yeah.
ended up with somebody that they already knew each other.
I mean, that happens a lot. A lot of people I know, I mean, not a lot, but a few people I know, they reconnected with someone yeah. from high school that they mm-hmm. weren't even friends with. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, they really connected as adults and ended up getting married.
Yeah.
Okay, but we need to talk about your wedding.
Okay, let's talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, first of all, we had your bachelorette. That was really fun. Yeah. I don't really know what to say about that other than it was fun.
It was so fun.
And
it was this, well, I guess one thing we will say, it was very, in tune with this podcast, I think, because it
true.
Was, I mean, not really, teenage related, except for the fact that it was a giant slumber party.
Yeah.
And we like did face masks and drank and watched chick flicks.
I forgot about the face masks.
Oh my God. The face masks are so funny.
So funny. Me and Jenny were faces were just burning.
Yeah. They were like, I'm on fire. but there was like, I don't even know, 10 of my closest girlfriends or so.
Yeah.
And we all were in a hotel room and it was just, it was so fun. There was candy and junk food in my favorite restaurant, Gusto 101.
That was so good.
Oh my God. It was just, it was so, so good.
Delish.
So yummy. And then the wedding was this past weekend and I have been lying to Carly for the past 3 months.
Oh,
because
you want me to say it?
And everybody. Well, yeah. Yeah, I would love you to say it.
Okay, so her and Mike decided they're going to have a reception at a venue and they're going to invite all their loved ones to come party. And then at a later date, they're going to go to City Hall. And I've been bugging Maddie for the last 2 months about, have you booked your City Hall thing? When are you going to do your City Hall thing? And she kept being like, we'll do it later. And I thought that you and Mike were having like cold feet about actually getting married.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because whenever I asked, you guys were just so like, like one thing at a time. Like we just want to like, and you would like brush it aside. And I was like, it doesn't matter to me if you're not actually going to get married. But I was just like, huh, like that's kind of weird that like they're going to make this big party a thing. But it seems like they don't actually want to go through with like the actual legal
part. And let me just say really quickly before you reveal that it wasn't just you that we told that. Everybody
no,
thought
I know.
That was it. Like, my parents, his parents, everybody. And God bless our friends and family. People flew in for just a party.
Right.
I mean, they knew it was... We kept saying, like, this was going to be the day. Like, this was
yeah.
what we were considering to be our wedding, our considering our anniversary. But
right.
our excuse was that we didn't get to deal with the marriage license in time. So we're just going to figure it out later because we want to concentrate on the party.
Right, right. Right. So, anyways, I'm filming, that's my gift to Maddie and Mike, is a wedding video, and I'm filming, you know, people chatting away and mingling and whatnot, and then the MC, Maddie's cousin, goes up and is like, you know, hello, welcome everybody, like, whatever, says things that MCs are supposed to say, and then this random lady goes up to the microphone, and me and all your, like, pals are like, who is that woman? And then she goes, oh, hi, everyone. There's a surprise. Maddie and Mike have decided they're going to get married right now. I'm going to be the officiant. And Maddie's about to walk out here with her dad. And then Mike walks through the crowd with his groomsmen and stands at the front. And everyone's freaking out.
It was wild.
And your friends from childhood just start crying immediately. They haven't even seen you yet. They're just crying. Mike's mom is crying. I'm trying to figure out what camera to use.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so sorry.
Losing my mind.
That's something I feel really bad about because I know that you're probably like, you want to make it as good as possible. But that's kind of the point of it. You know,
yeah, I
it
mean,
was a big surprise.
I am mad I didn't get to use my good camera during it, but
I have to say one thing that's funny is I don't remember if I told you this, but people will appreciate this, and our number one listener Kirsty will appreciate this because she told me this. So Kirsty came in from Halifax.
Yes,
she's one of my best friends from when we were about 5 or 6, and she came in from Halifax.
I'm in love with her, by the way.
A lot of people are. She's
I like her a
she's
lot.
She's so funny.
She's the best.
She's really really cool.
We should go visit her in Halifax one day.
Let's do it. Kirsty, you heard it here first. I'll make my 700th trip to Halifax. I will go there anytime. Anyway, so she was staying with me the night before. We had like a girls' night. And she was well aware that we were not getting married. It was a big discussion between us. I just said, like, it's not happening. She's like, that's fine. Like, great. I'm coming anyway. no matter what. And I knew she would, even if I said it's not happening. I kept saying, you don't have to. You don't have to. Like, I don't want you to feel pressure to come. It's not a real wedding. Knowing that she would come no matter what.
Right.
I'm trying to talk her out of it, knowing that she would come.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't a problem.
Okay.
And so she comes, and Friday night we're together, and she said, oh, my God, my aunt, my mom, everyone is, like, so confused as to why I came, and they're not being an actual wedding. And she's like, I keep telling them to, like, shut up. Like, obviously, I'm going to come. And then she's saying, yeah, but they're convinced that you're going to get married. They're convinced that you're going to surprise everyone.
Really?
She said that. And I went, oh, my God, I'm sorry, Kirstie. Like, I really hope that you're not going to be disappointed. Like, I said something. Yeah. I made some big thing. And she's like, no, I think it would be insane. Like, don't worry. I'm not here for that. You know, whatever. She talked me down. And then the next morning we wake up and she goes, happy wedding day. And we're at the hotel and she goes, I had the weirdest dream. And I was like, what? And she goes, I had a dream that you surprised us with a wedding.
What?
And I went, oh, my God. Can you imagine? Like, I just made up some. And she's like, God, that's so funny. And then we moved on.
Whoa.
And she was genuinely shocked. Because when I was standing up at the quote-unquote altar, I looked over at her and she made eye contact with me and went, fuck you. Yeah. So I don't know where this premonition came from. She must be psychic.
Wow.
But she genuinely, her family thought that she's going to surprise. You know she's going to. And Kirstie had a dream about it. And I convinced her out of it or whatever. I don't think she ever believed it.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It really, everything worked out so well.
It was perfect.
The food was good. The band was awesome. The venue was cool.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
I was mingling with the most random people all night, and everyone was so nice.
Yeah. We had a fantastic group of people there. The band was called Moon Sugar. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. If anyone actually cares, I'll put like a little, I don't know, I'm going to post on a wedding website about all the vendors that we had because everyone was so incredible. But the band was Moon Sugar, and genuinely, if you live in Ontario, you should hire them for a wedding or a party or whatever.
They were really fun.
They're so fun. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so much we could talk about, but it was just a really good time.
It was a great time. Thank you for filming it and being a part of it. I'm sorry I lied to you.
No, I enjoyed the surprise. It was really hard. I honestly don't know why I didn't think, because it's such a Maddie thing to do, first of all. And also, you kept saying to me, we're doing something at 7:30. Be ready for something at 7:30. And I was like, okay, like, maybe they're going to do like a funny dance or something.
Right. It was perfect. It worked out so perfectly. So anybody who's listening, Carolyn, Kirstie, thank you so much for being there, for coming. I love you very much. Everybody else, I'm sorry. Paul, I'm sorry. I'm not going to name everyone who came.
Who else listens?
Yeah, I'm not going to do
that
right now.
Actually, the last thing we'll say about this wedding, I had so many people come up to me and say, are you Carly? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God, I listen to the podcast.
You're kidding.
I honestly, at least 5 people that like, I couldn't tell you now because I kind of forget who they were.
Right.
But I was like, oh, ha ha, like, I'm kind of embarrassed that you know, like,
that's
these crazy
so cool.
things that I say.
That's cool.
But yeah, it was kind of funny.
That's awesome.
There you go, eh?
There you go. Anything else?
So now you're married.
Now I'm married. You have to refer to me as Mrs. the whole time now.
Mrs. Hallis.
Yeah, Mrs. Hallis. All right. Well, I mean, oh, I have a fun story.
Yes.
I have a very fun story that we can tell.
From the wedding?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unrelated to the wedding. I have one more preface that we can tell.
Okay.
Today, I got up. I went to work. Got a text from Carly.
Oh.
So, okay. Let me start again. The wedding, this is not to do with the wedding, but the one thing is we had a lot of leftover desserts.
Lots.
A lot of leftover desserts that my friend Kat and my cousin Jack made, because I asked them to do that for me because they're great people. And they were so delicious. There was all these leftovers, blah, blah, blah. Left them on the counter, far away from the counter. But
and
anyway.
This box that these treats are in have a cover.
Yeah.
They're not just like...
On a plate. It was like a closed box of treats. Yeah. Nowhere near reachable areas for small dogs. Anyway. I go to work, I get off the subway, and I'm sure you text me when I was still on the subway, but obviously I don't have service. Get off the subway, get to work, look at my phone. Carly has texted me and said, Harvey has eaten every single piece of chocolate out of the box.
Yeah.
And I was so angry. So I was on the phone with poison control today.
Yeah.
to say, my dog ate a box of chocolates. So anyway, this is my formal thank you to Carly, because this goddamn woman beside me had to force my dog to throw up. She had to poison my dog so that it would, so that she would throw up, so that we would get the chocolate out of her. And God bless, this woman had to deal with that and then clean it up and like deal with my puking dog. Oh my God. So thank you very much. But that was traumatic.
I mean, the pukes, I mean, not to be graphic, but she puked 3 times and they were huge.
Good. Huge. Good.
I tried to clean it up and they were heavy, full of treats.
Yeah.
And then my dog tried to eat the vomit. Anyways, I'll spare you the details, but it was disgusting.
She sent me, thank God, sent me, because I, you know, I'm me and I needed to like see what it looked like. I it's not like I didn't believe anything. I just needed to see what the puke looked like so that I could be like, okay, there's the puke, there's the chocolate, whatever. And so Carly sent me like a 2 minute, well, not 2 minutes, 30 second long video analyzing the puke.
It honestly looked like
it was so good
ice cream. It was chocolatey, swirly ice cream.
Anyway, my dog is an ice cream machine, is what she's saying.
Oh, yes. And I scooped that stuff up. Got a cone.
Got a cone.
A waffle cone. Oh, God. Went to town.
A sprinkle cone. All right. Disgusting. Should we get into this movie? This strange, strange film.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. So this week we watched Heather. Oh, Heathers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Maddie's on death's door.
Well, at least you got to die.
Married.
Married. What more does a woman want?
No, nothing. Just to make sandwiches and be married.
Make sandwiches. Make some casserole. All right. Heathers premiered March 31st, 1989.
2 months before I was born.
There you are.
3 months.
There you are. Rated R. Directed by Michael Lemon.
Michael Lemon.
Written by Daniel Waters. It's starring Winona Ryder, Christian Slater, Shannon Doherty.
That's interesting to me that this was written by a man.
Why?
Because it's just a female predominant.
Yeah.
It's called Heathers. There's the main cast, minus Christian Slater, of course, is women. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Well, just, you know, this is the 80s, so women had to really fight.
Women had to stay in the kitchen.
Yeah. Fight to get any.
Make casserole.
Positions in the entertainment industry. The logline is, in order to get out of the snobby clique that is destroying her good girl reputation, an intelligent teen teams up with a dark sociopath in a plot to kill the cool kids.
I would not call her an intelligent teen. I would not call her at all.
A troubled teen.
I would call her kind of an idiot and clearly has some issues, deeper issues that her family needs to deal with ASAP.
Yeah.
She's her... like the Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo.
Well, that's a bit far.
She's murdering people.
I know, but she's not like having sex with them. While they're unconscious.
I don't think Carla Homolka technically did that.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, she didn't have sex with them. She
gave her victims oral sex.
No, she did not.
Yes, she did.
She did not give her victims oral sex.
Yes, she did.
No way.
Including her sister.
No, she did not.
I read an article in high school that was very graphic.
There's no chance.
He filmed her doing it.
Ah! Prove it. Find the video.
Ew, I wouldn't watch that video if you paid me $3 million.
So, had you seen this movie before?
No, never.
Me neither. What did you know about it?
Nothing.
Okay. you had heard about it, though, and stuff, right?
I'd heard of the title.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was the other movie that we haven't watched yet, called Some Kind of Wonderful or whatever.
Oh.
I thought it was that movie, and it was not.
I don't know what I thought it was. I know that this movie, again, like, I didn't know who was in it. I knew nothing about it. And it was called Heathers, and it was from the 80s.
Yeah.
And I knew that multiple people, every time someone goes, oh, what's your podcast about? And I say, oh, it's about teen movies. They go, you should gotta do Heathers.
Really?
I have literally had at least, I'm not kidding, 9 or 10 people say that to me.
Interesting.
And so... you know, here we go. Here we did it. So, and I've always been like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it. But like, I just didn't know anything about it.
Hmm.
And then we did it.
Yeah. It's definitely like one of those movies, like it's in the same category as like Crybaby or like
sure.
I would say.
Yeah.
It has like these fantastical
elements.
Daydreams.
Yeah.
That are weird. I don't know. I think it's very like David Lynch, Rocky Horror Picture Show-esque. Mm-hmm. Like to a small degree.
It's very dark.
It's very dark and it's very weird.
Very, very dark.
So it starts with Winona Ryder. Well, the opening sequence is like this weird thing where Winona Ryder's character, Veronica, is popular. She's friends with the three Heathers. Mm-hmm. And they are playing croquet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of how we get introduced to them.
Yeah, they're like very preppy, popular girls. Like kind of...
wearing like pantsuits.
Pantsuits. Very... my first thought was that their outfit... I'm sorry, this is... clearly they came before this movie, but Clueless. Cher's... you know, iconic yellow plaid.
Yeah.
That's what they were sort of wearing.
Right.
So they're very preppy, popular, put together, rich. Yeah.
Very much like the Plastics in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like the three popular girls, but they're just horrible to each other and to other people.
Yeah. But then they're called, so they're all Heather.
Yeah.
And then Veronica is Veronica, obviously, who's played by Winona Ryder. And... did you say who was in the movie?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Winona Ryder. Christian Slater. Shannon Doherty.
All right. I trust you. So, anyway. Yeah. So, you know, there's all just these horrible people. And there's clearly cliques. Like, they're bullying this girl.
Yeah.
They bully everybody. They're just, yeah. And there's these jocks who are, like, disgusting.
Ew.
Like, they're, like, the things that these characters say are so disgusting. I literally was like, oh, my God.
I know. It's really, really like,
vulgar
perverted.
And perverted. Yeah. They're like, I want her to sit on my face and twirl. I'm going to fuck her in the ass with it. Like, and they're just talking about this at the lunch table. And I was like, oh,
ew,
my God.
They were gross. Yeah. So then Winona Ryder's character, Veronica. The first scene out of the croquet scene is them in the lunchroom, and they get her to write a note to this big girl who is, like, obviously not popular, and she doesn't really seem to have any friends, and she's just, it's very, really sad. And I guess Veronica's, like, known to be able to copy people's handwriting.
Right.
So she's really good at, like...
which is a weird thing to be able to do, but okay.
Yeah. I guess she's really good at...
Mimicking handwriting,
yeah. So she writes this letter from a jock because the Heathers tell her to. It's a love letter that they're pretending like one of the jocks is writing to like this girl who's sad and alone. And then she reads it and is like, I don't know, excited, I guess.
So this was, okay, so this was a bit strange to me. So this girl gets the note. They put it on her like lunch tray or whatever. And she gets this note from this jock being like, I love you. And I guess as she reads it, he like happened to see, like make eye contact with her, but not sexually. Like he does, they make eye contact and she walks over there. And this was what was weird is she walks over and just is at his table and just puts the note on his table. Like she doesn't say, oh, I got your note.
Yeah.
Or, oh, hi, or whatever. She just put like silently puts the note in front of him.
I know.
Which I thought was strange. I don't expect her to necessarily say anything, but I thought it was weird that she put the note down and was like, I see it. And do you see it too now? But anyway, and then obviously he laughs and laughs and laughs and laughs, and his friends all laugh and they all laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And she like scurries away.
Yeah. If that happened to me and I was actually like excited about the note, I would probably write back and then put my note on like his lunch tray.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't walk up and be like, here's the note back. Did that ever happen to you? Did you ever get a note from somebody saying, I like you? Not the fake one, I hope. But.
Yes,
you
actually.
Did.
A couple years ago. So.
Who's writing notes?
I know. When I was 25, this will obviously really be on brand for me. But when I was 25, I worked at a church. And and I was in charge of a bunch of teenagers. At an Anglican church, and I didn't know much about being Anglican, but that's besides the point. I took these teenagers to a retreat. It was like all these kids from all over Ontario came to like this camp. I don't know. Can't really remember what it was called. But I wasn't into eating the breakfast at this place, and I just wanted to have cereal, also on brand. So I went up to this sort of cute guy who was like the waiter, and I was like, hey, is it possible for me to just get like Rice Krispies or like Cheerios or something? I'm just not really feeling like bacon and stuff right now. He's like, let me go to the back. Like, I'm not supposed to, but I'll get it for you.
I'll get it for you.
So he comes out, gives me Rice Krispies, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'm happy. The next morning, I see him again. He smiles at me. And then I'm talking to Christian, my friend Christian, you know him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get hit in the face with something during the breakfast.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what the heck? And then Christian's like, someone just hit you in the face. And I pick it up, it's a piece of paper. I open it, and it's like, it says, hey, Rice Krispie girl. I think you're cute. Here is my number. Text me.
Oh, did you text him?
So, of course, all the teens are like, they're like, oh, my gosh, you got to text him. So I'm like, I'll text him. It'll be a fun thing that we can all do tonight. It's whatever. I text him. I find out that he's 19 or something. I'm 25. It's not that crazy, but I was like, not going to go for it. So anyways, I was like, oh, I'm flattered, but I'm 25 and... you know, whatever. That's it.
I can't believe you've never told me that story.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's just, I'm really upset that you never told me that story before.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it. What about you?
No, that has literally never happened. Are you kidding? Are you joking?
Have you ever had someone like be quite smitten over you that you weren't interested in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's happened... multiple times. I think it's happened a couple times, but they were both in, that I can think of, in university.
Hmm.
One of them was named Mike Hallis. Just kidding. That's not true. That was a stupid joke.
Well, he would have been.
Nah, I don't think so. Anyway, but there's two people. Yeah, they were kind of smitten, but like, yeah, I don't know. Nothing. They didn't write me notes. They wrote me Facebook messages. It was much different.
Not as cool.
Not as cool at all.
Well, when I first met you, you were an intern at the company that we worked for.
I was, yeah.
And you were assigned to go clean out our boss's basement or something and organize his books, which is insane and probably totally illegal. But anyways.
No. I had to alphabetize his poetry.
Okay, well.
That's what it was.
In his house.
Yes, in his home.
At his actual home.
Yeah.
In his basement.
An intern in a film company.
You're trying to learn about film.
I'm trying to learn about film. I was assigned with a bunch of other people. Like, not even just one person. Like, five of us assigned.
You want to know why I remember this?
I know where this story's going.
Because when you all came back, all the guys came back. I remember like, four of them. And they were all so grumpy. And I was like, what is the deal? What happened today? And then one of them told me, like, oh, so-and-so was flirting with Maddie. And so-and-so was asking Maddie to, like, lunch or whatever. And, like, everyone was, like, trying to get, like, her to...
So why were they grumpy?
Because they were, like, I remember they were just, like... Our friend, who you know who I'm talking about, was just like, had a crush on you and was annoyed that other people were like asking you to like have lunch with them and stuff. Good old days.
Good old days.
And I remember just being like, what an insane place we work at.
It was an insane job. Anyway, back to the movie. So lo and behold, these girls are horrible. They're all just shitty people. And Veronica is... hesitant to be shitty with him, but she's still doing it. She's kind of the good girl, I guess, because she's like, I don't want to write the note, but then she does it. So I mean, clearly she's not that good, but anyway,
Veronica's super not into being mean, but she wants to be popular,
right?
So it's a catch 22.
Yeah.
But then this scene, it's very Twilight, is when the Christian Slater character is like in the corner by himself. He's all dark and moody, and he's like just staring at,
no idea what his character's name is,
Veronica. Yeah, JD.
JD, you're right. Okay, so JD is in the corner staring.
Yeah, at Veronica, and like she's staring at him, and it's very like Twilight.
Yeah.
And then they eventually, she goes up to him because they have a lunchtime poll.
Oh, yeah.
And the question is, if you received $5 million on the same day that aliens took over Earth, what would you do with it?
Right.
So I wanted to ask you.
Oh, that's a tough question, because my immediate answer is travel. But if there's only a couple hours, where am I going to travel to?
I know.
And what am I going to do? I want to travel somewhere far. I don't know. There's no use for the money. If there's a couple hours to live, realistically, the money wouldn't mean anything anymore to anybody.
Well, you could like buy a boat maybe and just go sail.
Why would I need to buy it? if there was literally 2 hours left on Earth and aliens were like there being like, hey, everybody, you have 2 hours. I can't see a world in which people are like, okay, here's my boat. You owe me $1 million. Because what are they going to do with the money? I feel like everyone would be like, everyone's free for all. Enjoy your life as much as you can.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. If like the world was ending and I had $5 million.
The money wouldn't do anything because money would mean nothing. If the world and everybody knows the world is ending and you're saying, hey, I'll give you a piece of paper for $1 million. Doesn't matter because money is irrelevant to everybody now.
What if the aliens come, but they're not actually destroying? Like, it takes time to destroy Earth.
But they said a couple hours.
Did they?
In the movie, they said, oh, yeah, they you have 2 hours or something. Or maybe they said 2 days. I don't remember if it was 2 hours or 2 days. But that's a big difference, I suppose.
I probably wouldn't do much.
I don't think I'd do much. Yeah, I'd probably get all... You know what I would do? I know what I would do.
What?
I know exactly what I would do. I would get all of the subscription... All of the streaming subscriptions.
Oh my gosh.
I would get Netflix and Disney Plus and Crave HBO and Hulu and Amazon Prime and YouTube Red. I'd get everything.
You can get all of that for like $90 a month. But that's a good one.
Yeah, but this is... I don't know what else I would do with the money. I really don't.
That's funny. I feel like I'd probably just hang out with my family and like watch movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably just like, I don't know, drug myself. So I don't really have to deal with like the panic of being dead soon.
I think I would maybe buy enough drugs to make me not know. Yeah. To eliminate that panic.
That's what I had to do in Titanic. So sad.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that scene when the old people are holding each other?
Yeah, in the bed.
Yeah, and they're like drinking booze and they're just like, well,
I'm going to cry now.
See you soon. And like the water is like slowly going up. Ah, how sad! I'm going to cry. And then the mom is tucking her kids in.
Yeah, and she's like telling them a story.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, anyways.
I wonder what would have happened if they all had $5 million in that scenario. Nothing would have changed. Exactly. That's my point.
Maybe they could have bribed to get on the dag lifeboat.
We should watch that movie.
Oh, I would love to. One time I was just like bored and I watched it in French.
Can I tell you a really funny story?
Yeah.
So this was way before Mike, but this was still like recent enough where there was dating apps. And I wonder if it's still on my computer. Okay, so I think it was probably Tinder. I would have to imagine it was I think it was like the only one that existed at this point. And so I had Tinder and I met this guy on it whose name was Charlie, I think. And we never ended up meeting, spoiler alert, but we had talked on the phone a couple of times. And I was living at home because I had just moved back from England. So that it would have been 2013. This is when we met. This was around the time we met.
Yeah.
And so talking to this guy, his name is Charlie. And one night, like I was at my parents' house. And it was like a Saturday, fucking night or a Friday night, like where people should be going out.
Yeah.
Like doing things.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I sat by myself and watched Titanic at my parents' house on their like big screen TV.
Yeah.
And this guy calls me and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm watching Titanic. Anyway, he wrote me a song called Leonardo.
What? And it's How have a you song, not told me this?
I don't know. And it was a song about me staying home watching Titanic on a Friday night.
What was it like on his guitar?
Yeah, it was like Leonardo and Maddie on a Friday, and I don't remember how it went at all. Oh, I've got to find it. It's
give me his number.
I will. I would actually love that. He was so nice. It just Uh-oh. Never happened.
Okay, I wanted to ask you if you've ever been friends with someone just purely because they were popular.
No.
I guess your school didn't really have popular people necessarily.
No. In fact, the popular, quote unquote, popular girls in my school. I would, like, people, they were not popular. They thought they were popular and people, like, did not like them and thought they were gross.
Okay.
So, no, I did not. Did you?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Was it me?
No. In grade 9, I was pretty consumed with popularity. In grade 10 as well. And I straddled the line between trying to be popular and the skater girl, as we've talked about. Mm. And I became friends with this one girl. And I found her to be a bit much once I actually became friends with her. Mm. And then I was like, oh, geez, like, how am I going to backpedal out of this? because she ended up really wanting to be my friend. And so she was in my art class. And oh my gosh, she always got me in trouble in art class. At one point, she picked me up because I was so small back then. She threw me in a garbage can as a joke. And the teacher like sent me to the office. I was like,
why would she throw you in the garbage can?
She just like, I can't describe it.
And why is that funny?
She was just so invested in making like ridiculous memories. You know those people?
Yeah.
That are like willing to go above and beyond just so we can have like a story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is so exhausting. Everything has to be a story and a memory. I just want to like chill and paint. But she just like would always like be picking me up and like twisting me around and laughing and like, oh, Carly's so funny. She always just like says funny things. And then like I got sent to the office and then I was like, oh my gosh. I ended up getting like 50% in that class because of this girl. I got 50% in art. Because I just...
You just have to write your name in art.
Oh my gosh. And then 100%. At one point she told me she had a brain tumor.
Ah!
And this was a lie. And then she's like crying. And she's like, I want to go for a walk. And like, Carly, come walk with me. And then I had to like skip class and go walk with her. And she was like, I have a brain tumor. And I was like, really? Do you though? And it turned out she didn't. You know, people are weird in high school. They lie. They need attention. And then one time we had a sleepover. Oh my gosh. It was like running a marathon. We like had to go to a movie and then she wanted to go to the mall. Then she wanted to go out for dinner. And then back at my house, she wanted to watch like 3 more movies and she wanted to have candy. And
she
wanted to like dress up. And then in the crawl space, she wanted to like ride around on like these little bikes things I had and skateboards. And then finally, the next morning, she left, and I was just exhausted.
You were like, I can finally sleep.
And I just thought to myself, I got to break up with this chick.
Uh-oh.
This is
too much.
How'd
you do it?
Well, once our class was over, I just kind of avoided the topic. Yeah.
Right. I hope you don't do that to me when you're sick of me and just start like...
No. I mean, it was so surface level. I mean, it was one of those things where she didn't know one thing about me. She was never like interested in like really getting to know me.
Right.
She just was like, I guess maybe I made her feel maybe listened to or something.
Right.
Or I made her feel like she could
throw you in a garbage can.
I'm very low maintenance. I think sometimes that maybe is refreshing to people that,
yes,
you know, are constantly trying to be someone they're not.
Sure. I agree.
Anyways, I hope she's well, but man, what a ride.
Yeah, I did not have an experience like that. I'm sure I had people, I had friendships that were exhausting that I did not want to be a part of anymore in high school, but they weren't popular. They were just shitty people.
Yeah. It's funny. I look back and the popular people that I was friends with, they really were exhausting. They really were.
Yeah.
I mean, my friends now, I mean, I just recently told you the story about how me and my friend Caitlin, she literally came to my home.
Yeah.
With her child so we could catch up, and then she put her child down for a nap, and then me and her looked at each other and then we just went, you want a nap too?
Yeah.
I know we were supposed to catch up, but do you want to just nap?
Yeah.
And we both got into my bed and fell asleep, and then she woke up, got her kid up, and was like, well,
I gotta go. That's the thing. There is nothing like a friendship like that. I think you and I have a similar one.
Yeah.
And my friend Sarah used to be the same. And April, my friend April came to visit me in, and by used to be the same, I mean, when we lived together, we were still the same. But my friend April came to see me and visit me in England. I remember this so clearly. And it was similar to that in the sense that we were in England, in fucking England, another continent. And, you know, we'd do stuff during the day. I'd show her around. Da, da, da. We'd come back to my house. And I had this big giant bed, like, well, I didn't, but the landlords had given us these big beds. So we're laying in bed and we would just sit there in silence on our own computer on Tumblr. And I was like, it was one of our favorite things. I was genuinely, this is so sad. It's one of my favorite memories of her being in England, because it was just, we like were so comfortable with each other that we would just be in silence on Tumblr.
I love it.
And we were in England. Like, it just, anyway. It was just
I love
things.
That.
Me too.
One thing I am sad about in life is that I wasn't friends with you at least before you went to England, because I would have totally come.
I know you would have. But that being said, there's no stopping us from going to visit.
Well, I probably will in May, and I want you to come.
I will come. I would love to go back to England. I miss it so much. I miss it so much. I peaked 100%. I know I make that joke sometimes a lot, but that was the best, other than the chapter I'm just starting with my husband. But at that point, that was fucking amazing. It was the best time of my life.
That sounds amazing. I'm jealous.
It was great.
Okay, so let's talk about this movie. So, okay, basically what happens is that Veronica and JD, they decide they're going to poison the most popular girl.
Hold on. They start dating.
Yeah, they start, have like, sex, and then they're like a thing.
They're wrestling tongues.
Yeah. And,
tongue wrestling.
And genitals. They decide it's going to be like a cruel, weird prank. They're going to sort of poison this popular girl who's sick.
Yeah. So they're kind of talking about how they want to. So Veronica is saying she wants to, make her a gross drink because she's starting to piss her off. So she's saying, let's mix orange juice and milk and then, hork-a-loogie into it or whatever. But meanwhile, JD is like, let's put, rat poison in it.
Right.
And they're like, she's like, haha, very funny, blah, blah, blah. And then she accidentally grabs that one.
Right.
Because, of course, he mixed it together and put it right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, they feed it to her and she instantly dies.
Yeah. She falls over into a glass table and dies.
Immediately. And clearly Veronica did want to do this to some degree because she does not freak out as you would or you should if you accidentally kill someone. Yeah. She's kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then JD gets he gets sort of a thrill from this and becomes kind of addicted to killing people with this main point being that Veronica is writing suicide notes in people's handwriting, so everyone thinks that they've committed suicide.
Right, which is an incredibly dark part of the story, and I don't want to get too much into it.
Well, that's like the whole movie.
No, I know, but I don't mean let's not get into that part. That's fine. We have to talk about it.
But it is, the whole movie is sort of like a commentary on there's a few things that's happening. So first of all, the popular girl dies. And then all of a sudden, everyone in the school is being interviewed by the news and stuff. And they're all talking about how much they loved her.
Right.
Even though she was mean to everybody. So that was sort of one thing that they were trying to get across, I think, is that suddenly when someone dies, they are seen as
angelic.
Yeah. This amazing person, even if they weren't.
Right.
Okay. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is this idea of death being kind of gossip. I don't know. I think that they were trying to, what were they trying to say, do you think?
Oh God, I don't know. I think there was a lot of points in this movie. I think that there was something to do with death being, what's the word? It's like a fad almost.
Right. Yeah.
Not gossip. Well, not fad. It's like a trend.
It's a trend.
Like the death is being a trend. They're all like, oh, well she died.
Right.
And it's just, it's very, I think it's a big talk on how popularity is influential to other people because
the one girl that at the beginning who has no friends or whatever, she tries to commit suicide at one point and then she doesn't do it properly, so then the one girl's like, see, everyone's always trying to copy the popular people and they're always failing miserably or something.
And it's just things like the fact that Heather, whatever her name is, the main one, she dies and then suddenly everyone's like, oh, we loved her.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this whole influence of popularity and everything.
And then the teacher passes around her suicide note.
Oh!
That Veronica wrote.
The teacher? And then someone's like, let's talk about how she died. The teacher's like, that is very graphic. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's passing around the suicide note. That was so fucking weird. Who gave her the suicide note?
I don't
know. What police officer said, hey, parents, here's the suicide note. Oh, and if you want, share it with the teacher. Oh my God, it was so stupid. Anyway.
Yeah, and then they trick the jocks. They tell the jocks that Veronica wants to have sex with both of them at the same time in the forest.
Right.
Both the jocks show up, which I think is really strange because I don't know what straight male wants to have sex with a girl. Well, maybe I'm wrong. With their best friend. I don't know.
Let us know.
Some guys are sick. So anyways, it's...
don't judge their preferences.
Well... These guys are disgusting. Yeah.
They're like, can't wait to London Bridger or whatever.
Literally, Veronica
Pork
will be like,
roast or whatever it's called, pig roast.
At one point, Veronica was like, I don't want to have sex. And then the guy was just like, I don't care. I want to get laid. Like, you know.
Yeah, it was, it's really weird.
They were just like really terrible.
They shoot them. They shoot the two jocks and they leave a suicide note saying that they're gay. Like they're admitting, right. They're coming out and they're saying, we're gay together. We're in love. We can't be without each other. So we killed each other or whatever.
And Veronica thought the bullets were like blanks or something, but they weren't.
It's really confusing because like, but didn't you just see him murder the other girl? Like, why do you think that he would have blanks? Anyway.
So this is probably around the point where Veronica realizes that JD is a psychopath and that he's not just like a
cute, I think she should have realized that a lot earlier.
Moody guy.
And I think she's also a psychopath. I think we can agree.
Yeah, but she has like a moral compass.
She pretends. She clearly doesn't.
Well, she's pretty upset about what's happening.
She pretends to be upset.
All right.
I think she's more of a psychopath because she's able to, because she's able to still kill people and then be like, oh, no.
Well, she does pretend to hang herself.
Yeah, like I think she's the craziest one out of them.
She pretends to hang herself and then her mom walks in and sees her and she's like, oh, I should have let you have that job at the mall.
Yeah, it's
the first thing she says.
So so she starts trying to get away from JD a little bit more and she's saying like, we're over, like leave me alone. And he obviously is not letting that happen. And that's when she pretends to hang herself so that he sees her and thinks she's dead.
Right.
And that he'll move on. And then, but she didn't, it was all rude. Then they kill the other Heather.
Right.
Somehow. But yeah. I'm unclear how. They don't really show us.
Shannon Doherty?
No. They don't kill her.
Oh.
They kill the other blonde one.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Remember when they had that weird funeral that was like in 3D?
Oh, I thought that was Shannon.
No. Shannon was talking to her. It was the other. She goes, oh, I wish I could. It was Heather Duke. She goes, I wish I could just slit her wrist or something.
Right. And then the first dead Heather appears in this at this funeral. Yeah, it's just like. It's like, oh, so many more people showed up to my funeral. This is a terrible turnout. And then she says something actually really funny. She goes, oh, Veronica, the afterlife is so boring. If I have to sing Kumbaya one more time.
You did really enjoy that. You did laugh out loud for that.
I just like the idea of heaven just being singing Kumbaya.
I think that this is kind of where I started getting confused. Not confused, but uninterested.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
What would you have thought? Like, I can tell that I would have loved this movie in high school. Like, I know if I had seen this in high school, this would have been my new favorite movie. For sure.
No, not me. I need there to be, like a sweetness.
Yeah. Well, just judging by how, you know, at the beginning of this episode, you compared it to Crybaby and Rocky Horror Picture Show and like those weird ones. And those were some of my favorite movies in high school.
Yeah.
And I think that's like I liked the weird. And yeah.
I appreciate the weird. They're not the kind of movies that I'm watching over and over and over. Like 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, no. I would have watched this over and over again.
Yeah. I think
sure.
You would have too.
Yeah.
It's a fine movie, but I think it would have been better as like a short film. Like it just kind of went on and on and on and on.
I agree.
They're killing people. They're leaving suicide notes. They're trying to like be all deep and talk about how society is, you know, corrupt and whatever. But I don't know. It was a little on the nose at points and then other points I was confused. And Yeah.
I agree with that. I will say one thing I was confused about was why was it called Heather's?
Oh, because the three main girls that were popular named were Heather.
Yeah, but Veronica's name wasn't Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if like the only three they killed were the Heathers, okay, I would get that. But like, they didn't. They kill other people. I just was confused as to why it was called Heathers.
Probably
honestly.
The writer of this movie like had like some issue in high school with some girl named Heather.
Yeah.
He's probably like a psychopath, like JD.
Oh God. So, do you have anything else to say about the movie? I don't really.
I mean, not really. This one movie was, you know, it's kind of like hard to talk about because all of it is about suicide and it's pretty dark.
I can't see. I mean, like when we were looking it up, we saw that there was a 2018 version or it said based on or something. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what that one is like because I'd like to know if they cover the same like amount of suicide and like school shooting and bombing and like all that stuff.
Yeah, at the end JD tries to bomb the school.
Yeah, they're all kind of like a joke in this movie.
Well, they're not
I mean like if a movie came out like this now, that would be insane.
Yeah. That would be insane. You'd have to do it in a way that's like super smart and like
yeah, I don't know what you would have to do. But anyway, maybe they could do it. I would be very interested to see someone try.
Here's some interesting facts for you.
Oh, please.
Okay, number one fact. The main girl who played the main Heather, she dated Christian Slater.
Oh, yeah.
And then he broke up with her to date Winona Ryder.
On this movie?
Yeah, during filming.
During filming?
Yeah.
So her and Christian Slater met, like, the Heather girl and Christian Slater met during filming and started dating, and then he left her to be with Winona Ryder?
I'm not sure. It said that the two of them were dating, and then during filming, he broke up with her to date Winona Ryder. Very which I'm like, wow, Winona Ryder, that's kind of a bad move. At least wait till you're done filming.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially during filming.
The other strange fact, sad fact, so the main girl, who I'm still talking about, the main Heather.
Yeah.
She has some line of dialogue in the movie about someone being like, yeah, don't you have a brain tumor? And then she ended up dying at the age of 32.
Oh my God.
Of a brain tumor.
No.
For reals.
No.
For reals.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into that. That's horrifying.
I know. 32. That's like our age.
That's so sad. Ugh.
What do you rate this movie?
That's a hard one this week because this viewing honestly was not a great one.
No, it wasn't.
I think in different circumstances I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah, and we're still recovering from the wedding.
Yeah, and I definitely think that I would have enjoyed it when I was in high school. So I'm going to give it two different ratings. I'm going to give it high school Maddie rating and current Maddie rating.
Okay.
Current Maddie, like in this viewing, I'd probably give it a 5.5.
Okay.
High school Maddie, truly, I think I would have given it like a 9.
Really?
I think I would have loved this in high school.
It's too bad you didn't watch it in high school.
I know, it's too bad.
I would rate this movie a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, average.
Yeah, it's all right.
My computer is going to die, so we have to do our quick crushes of the week.
Okay, ready. You go first.
Okay, so I watched this interview, Actors on Actors, you know, Variety, YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I watched one with Kristen Stewart and Shia LaBeouf. Okay.
Okay.
And I have not felt this way in such a long time, but when I was watching this interview, I actually felt lovesick over Shia. You know when you're young and you have crushes on celebrities you're like, I would do anything to just like meet this person.
When is this interview from? Recently?
Yes. Like very recent. Like it was like came out like a couple days ago or something.
Oh, interesting.
And just the way he was speaking and like, so anyways, I was like, and then the interview ended and I was in bed and I just like lied there just thinking about Shia. I won't give you the rest of the details. but anyways.
That's amazing.
It was very powerful.
That's very funny.
What about you?
My crush is my husband.
Oh, of course. That's
I'm sorry.
Nice.
I could not say that. Yeah. Come on.
That's true.
It was. Yeah, I got a husband now.
You do have a husband now.
So next week we're going to do, is it a double?
It's a double.
It's a dub-dub? A dub-dub?
Yeah, so next week, Tuesday episode, a special episode with Kirsten Smith, who is one of my writing idols.
It was so fun to meet her.
Oh my God.
It was amazing.
She wrote 10 Things I Hate About You, co-wrote 10 Things I Hate About You, Legally Blonde, Ugly Truth, House Bunny, the series Trinkets on Netflix right now, and the movie we're going to review on Thursday.
Yes. She's the man.
I'm so excited.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was, I thought I said She's All That by accident. She's the Man is what we're reviewing next week. So if you have not seen it, it is the 2000 and something starring Amanda Bynes.
And Channing Tatum.
And Channing Tatum.
Thank you
so much to Eric and Kevin Smale for our theme song.
Yes.
If you have not seen She's the Man, please go ahead and watch it before next week. And we will see you then, or we'll see you at another time.
All right. Happy
Halloween.
Happy wedding.
Bye.
Bye.